Today's mailbag comes to us from Beverly. Thanks to last year's holiday blitz, I had all my gift wrapping supplies and cards purchased last December for this season. Thanks to this year's blitz, I have made some reductions in what I plan to bake and do. Time and money saved. Planning to enjoy the holidays and my vacation time instead of returning to work broke and exhausted. Thanks, Lisa.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. My understanding of ADHD and how the executive function functions inside of our brain has been something that I have been exploring and developing over the last, really, 20 years. I would say the first time that I really heard the term ADHD was when one of my eighth grade classmates was outside who had hung up the flag on the flagpole, and it was winter, and he literally stuck his tongue to the flagpole. And yeah, of course, it stuck. Like he'd seen in a movie, he stuck. And I'm like, wow. And that's kind of like what we thought ADHD was like in the late 70s, early 80s. It was hyperactive boys doing things they shouldn't do when they were supposed to be learning in school. Basically, that was like the sum total of ADHD in my upbringing. Then I went to college and I got a degree in education, and my very first job was teaching at-risk students. At-risk students who were identified as lacking some of the skills that they needed in kindergarten. They didn't have all of their kindergarten readiness skills. So my position was actually a Title I position, and I was supposed to teach those same students, give them an all-day classroom experience in kindergarten to see if we could shore up the skills that they hadn't learned before they entered school so that they would not end up on an IEP or have learning disabilities or anything like that. Like, was this an intervention that we could do so that we could fill in the holes, so to speak, in the learning that that child had in the first 4 or 5 years of life so that they more matched their peers going into first grade and they didn't end up needing additional services along the way. So that's what I did the first couple of years of my teaching, and I loved it. And of course, ADHD was brought up. You know, does this child have ADHD? Does this child not? And I just have to say, I was pretty cocky. And I was thinking, oh no, like ADHD isn't a thing, like it doesn't even exist. Like, and I had a student that struggled all year long, and they were talking about how this student might have ADHD. And I'm like, no, this child needs to listen and pay attention. Like this is a behavior issue. This is not a chemical issue, because I was like 22, like I knew nothing. And then it was the last week of the school year. I'll never forget. It was the last week of the year. And the doctor said, I think we're going to try an ADHD medication for the student. And again, I wasn't a parent. I was very naive and I was very self-righteous because I was, you know, in my 20s. And I was like, what is the point in trying a medication literally the last week of kindergarten? Like, what difference are you going to see? No joke. This student came into my class the next week, sat down. She was able to read. She was able to write. I was floored. Previously, this student would spin around in circles and bark like a dog during my story time and was not writing any words except for her name and could not identify any letters. But once she took medication, literally the next week, all of this knowledge was locked in her brain and she did not have a way to get it out. And at that point, the age of 22, 23, whatever I was at that time, I realized I know nothing. I know nothing about anything, which is what you learn in your 20s. You start your 20s and you're like, I know everything and I am the gift to the world. And by the end of the 20s, you're like, I am a peon and I know nothing. And as you get older, the more knowledge you have, the more you realize you know absolutely nothing. And that was my experience of ADHD before being a parent. Like, I was a teacher, and I would create accommodations for students. And then I realized that medicine was an accommodation that you could use that would support additionally all these additional structures that we were putting into the class. I knew how to break down complex learnings into really small, manageable chunks, how to take learning and make it really experiential and fun. Yeah, I was a good teacher and I could trick you into learning just about anything because I would just come up with 89 million ways to teach you something. After I left my teaching career and then we adopted our children, I really enjoyed playing preschool in my house. In my house, we would do like all these activities and we had sensory tables and I was teaching my kids all kinds of things. And I remember Joey was not even 2 years old and we were at the pediatrician. He might have even only been one. And the doctor said to me, you'll be coming back here. We're going to be talking about ADHD with this one. And I'm like, how do you know? Like, two-year-olds are like two-year-olds. Like, they all look like squirrels running around trying to chase something. Like, they're all hyper. And he was like, no, 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 this is an extra kind of hyper you got over here. This one we're going to call ADHD. And so I knew from a very young age we would be in this ADHD soup. And I am an eclectic learner. I love to know about hashtag all the things. And I love to learn about everything and use every modality available to me. So I went into parenthood knowing that pharmaceutical intervention in the case of ADHD, while not always appropriate or not doesn't always work, definitely worked with this one student I had. Like, it was like night and day. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that. I also believe that you have experiences along the way that prepare you for later life experiences. And I do not think it is an accident that I had that student in my classroom. I also do not think it's an accident that I went back to teaching for 18 months when my kids were in their late grade school years as a middle school teacher. It made me so much better of a middle school and high school mom. Like, I would not be the woman I am today if I had not gone back to teaching for those 18 months. I would have been a much more perfectionistic, high-strung mom that would have not matched my children and not created the environment that I have in my home today and the relationship I have with my children today. Being in that Montessori middle school for 18 months with the co-teacher that I had, who was amazing and so laid back and so intelligent and just had such a bigger view of the world than I did at the time, really expanded my mindset of what is possible, what is normal, and that there is no normal, basically. So when my kids went to school, they went to Montessori school, and then my children have gone to different schools based on whatever learning they need, whatever learning style they needed. So they started in Montessori, and then one went to a learning disability school, and the other one to public school because there were better supports for them at public school. Then that one joined them at the learning disability school. Then one went to Catholic school, and the other one went back to public school, and then I ended up homeschooling. So my kids were only in the same school when they were in preschool. And when they were in the middle school years, we had kids in the same school. Other than that, my kids have always been in different schools based on whatever needs that they have. And when my kids were in that learning disability school, they went to Springer School and Center, which is specifically for language learning disabilities. The preponderance of students there that also had an ADHD diagnosis was super, super high. And Springer happens to be one of those schools that provides education for the city of Cincinnati on ADHD. They do it in conjunction with Children's Hospital. They literally teach the teachers in Cincinnati how to accommodate for ADHD and learning disabilities in the schools. And so all the teachers go down there for in-services. And if you're a parent at Springer, you're allowed to go to the in-services. And I'm a nerd, and I'm a parent, and I'm a teacher. So you know, I went. And I learned so much about ADHD. I learned about how it impacts education. I learned about medication. I learned from all the books that you want to read about and the doctors that are in the field of ADHD. Those doctors came to Cincinnati in conjunction with Cincinnati Children's Hospital and Springer, and then would put on seminars in Cincinnati that anyone could come and attend. And I went and I attended. So I learned from the best of the best about the research that was being done and how an ADHD brain processes differently than other brains and some supports that they need. And I provided those supports for my kids. Pharmaceutical intervention, chiropractic intervention, nutritional intervention, supplements, enough supplements to put someone through college intervention, schools, tutors, you name it, we've tried it. I have done it all. Now, why this is a glossary podcast episode, you may be like, this sounds like a new podcast episode. It is. So in 2022, I was approached early in 2022 to do a couple of webinars for ADHD online. I'm like, yep, sign me up. I love doing webinars. If you know anybody who needs somebody to do a webinar, has a summit, whatever, like sign me up. I love to teach. And I love to teach about the home and housework and all of this. So sign me up. So I got signed up. I did a webinar. They're like, do another one. I'm like, okay. They're like, do another one. I was like, okay, wait. Let's do a series of webinars. Let's really dive into ADHD in the home. I wrote the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization in 2016. Let's really take the new research that I did in 2020 and 2021 and dovetail this together and really talk about where are people getting stuck, specifically, who are diagnosed with ADHD and they don't have enough structure at home. How can they get more structure? And how does the executive function part that is impacted by ADHD play out in the home, and how can we support that? So I signed up to do these four webinars. And then I thought to myself, you know, I really should vet this company, because if I'm going to go this deep and do six webinars, you know I'm going to start talking about it on this podcast. And if you're going to go to ADHD online and find out if you have ADHD, is it even reputable? Like, I mean, really? Can you figure this out online? So that's floating around in the back of my head. And I meet with my friend Barbara Hunter, who does ADHD coaching. And I said, Barbara, should I find out if I have ADHD? And she said, yes. I said, why? I mean, it's not going to change anything. Like, I've put so many supports in place that I think I'm functioning pretty optimally. She's like, well, we should test you and find out. And so we're having lunch and she's like, see, another sign. You're probably ADHD. See, another sign. You're probably ADHD. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll do the test. I said, but here's the thing. I will do the ADHD online test to find out if I have ADHD. But also, as far as my understanding, which is just a layperson, stay-at-home mom, former teacher who has a podcast and a company, I'm not a doctor, understanding is that ADHD and executive function are linked together, and I don't think I have any executive function deficits. She said, great, let's test you on that. I'm like, great, let's. So starting in October, and let's see what podcast episode these start at so that you know if you want to go back and find them. I think we have them in an ADHD playlist as well. So starting in the fall of 2022, I started giving you these podcasts, and these are just the highlights. So the first podcast was, does Lisa have ADHD? So this whole conversation I just told you about with Barbara Hunter and ADHD online, like, should I even figure out if I have ADHD? That's episode 505. So I took the ADHD online test. They give you an answer in 3 days. I'll give you that answer in a minute. And then I went ahead and I did an executive function profile with Barbara Hunter. Now that is called the brief. B-R-E-I-F or I-E-F. I don't know. E's and I's. They swim around in words for me because I thought I was dyslexic, but I'm not. So I took the brief, A, and that is a self-rating scale. It's one of those where you have like 20 or 40 questions and you answer like on a scale of 1 to 3 or 5 or something like that, how often you do these things. I took it, my husband took it for me, and my chief of staff took it for me. And we had these three tests and I sent them into Barbara Hunter. And she took a look at all of them and she said, great, based on this, you're right. Your executive functioning is within normal limits. You do not appear to have ADHD at all. If you were my client, I would not refer you for any more testing. I said, great. ADHD Online just said I have ADHD, and they said I have ADHD. They said, like, I qualify on every level for every combined type, like, whatever. I am winner, winner, chicken dinner. She's ADHD. And Barbara was like, but your executive function profile is normal. I was like, yes, that is what is fascinating to me, and that's what I thought. So then I was like, all right, podcast episode 507. Let's find a psychologist that can figure out, do I or don't I have ADHD? So that podcast episode is so interesting because This psychologist knew me personally and professionally, and she said, Lisa, there's no way you have ADHD. Like, you're way too accomplished. You're way too organized. You're way too, like, your executive functioning is functioning. Like, there's no way. I'm like, yeah, but don't you think you can improve your executive function? And she said, yes, if you do medical intervention, like a pharmaceutical or coaching or something like that. And I didn't do anything inside of the pharmaceutical medical realm. I did all this self-development, woo-woo, you know, podcasts type stuff. I said, yeah, but I did it. I just didn't do it in the medical community. I know I changed my executive function profile. I know if you had tested me with those same tests that I did, that brief test 20 years ago, flaming ADHD person. Like, I'd be like red in every category. She said, all right, come on down here and let's figure out. I said, run any test you want, spend as much money as you want. Let's figure it out, because I can't tell people to go to ADHD online if it's not a real diagnosis. She gets the ADHD diagnosis from the report from ADHD online. She interviews my mother. She looks at my report cards. She looks at my whole thing and she goes, Lisa? I said, yes. She said, you have ADHD. You're like, you have major ADHD. Like, you're combined type. Like, you hit it on all levels. And I said, well, how come you didn't know? And she's like, because you have worked and improved your executive function. She said, and you have created such good workarounds, people wouldn't know, and you've hired out all of your deficiencies and all of the things that are hard for you. You have found good people to be around you and support you, and so you have grown. I said, that is what I thought. She said, also, though, you're not dyslexic. I'm like, I'm not dyslexic. That's what I thought I've been my whole life. She's like, you corrected your own dyslexia by teaching children how to read and write. Because I was never taught phonics as a student. I was taught whole language. I learned phonics as a college student. And then I taught children to read and write. I corrected my dyslexia. She goes, the fact that you can't spell is because you're ADHD. I'm like, what? Oh. I always thought it was because I was dyslexic. So anyway, those three podcasts were kind of like my exploration into things that I'd always thought about but never took the time or the money to actually figure out, because I mean, I'm not opposed to pharmaceutical intervention, but I don't really think I need it. Now, what came out of this is I'm going back to school. I am going to become a doctor. I am going to get my PhD, and I have already started as of the time that you're listening to this recording. It will take me 4 years. I actually have to take a one-year certificate course in order to be a candidate to be a PhD student, because I don't have a master's and I don't understand some of the statistics and research analysis that I need and the academic level writing that I need to be able to do in order to pursue my PhD. But I'm on the path, and the path is a four-year path, and I am committed to doing this. And one of the things that I have learned over the last couple of years is many people in the academic community have come to me and said, our students in college who are recently diagnosed with ADHD or come to college with ADHD do not get their degrees because they cannot be organized. They are not organized enough in order to achieve their degree. Not that they're not intelligent enough to receive the degree, they are not organized enough. And so I have been already listening to, I found an awesome podcast, and I've bought a couple of books about how to organize your research, your learning, your notes from the beginning so that you can find information as you're writing your dissertation, because it's hundreds of studies that you have to read in order to become an expert and write a dissertation and get a doctorate. And also, since recording those podcasts a couple of months ago, I now realize already I could see the difference in the articles that I'm reading, in what academic writing is versus blog writing or podcast writing or even book writing that I've done before. Academic writing is a completely different kind of writing. It's fascinating. I'm really interested in learning about it. There's no persuasion whatsoever. No rabbit trailing and telling stories like I like to. Everything has to be very documented. But if you get good at it, and which I want to get good at it, you can write an academic paper that is enjoyable to read. And I want to write academic papers that are enjoyable to read, that are all fact-based, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what came out of the first part of this ADHD glossary series was, I realized I do have ADHD. I realized you can get diagnosed online. I believe it is tied into your executive function profile. I've since gone to an ADHD conference in which a doctor said it is not correlated with your executive function profile. So I'm going to have to do more research on that. And that's what I'm going to do. I am going to be doing more research, and I'm going to leave open the possibility of what my PhD dissertation will be in. But the field that I know I'm going to be studying specifically is how our homes function, the systems in our home, specifically women as heads of household and how all of that works. And then also this aspect of executive function at home and how we can improve our executive function and how we can support executive function at home, just like we do at school and at work. Now, after I was done with this part of the ADHD podcast story, I then went on and I talked about in podcast episode 508, the future of executive function research as it relates to ADHD, which is what I just told you about in getting my PhD. And then I jumped into my current understanding in the best way possible to explain to you how executive function actually shows up in your everyday life. So podcast 509, I talked about what the heck is the executive function of working memory? Like, what is your working memory? Why do teachers know instantly if you have an issue with working memory? How does it hinder you in school, at home, in work, when your working memory is not working to its optimal capacity? In episode 510, I talked about what is the executive function of organization of materials. Like, I can't even make this stuff up, you guys. Literally, there is a category of executive function that academia and psychologists and psychology talks about all the time, which is organization. Like, let me just tell you what the executive functions are. There are 8 executive functions that are in the prefrontal cortex of your brain, so the front part of your brain, and these are the ones that are inhibited or impacted by ADHD, and they can also be impacted in other ways, but they are organization, planning, task initiation, which is like starting, self-monitoring, which is understanding how far you are in a project from starting to finishing, working memory, which is being able to remember multiple things in your head at one time, flexible thinking, which is the ability to see, the ability to adjust to the unexpected. Someone who struggles with flexible thinking has a hard time when someone else changes their schedule at the last minute. Emotional control and impulse control. I mean, it's organization, you guys. Like, Organize 365 improves executive function. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. That's why I'm going to go get my doctorate and see if I'm allowed to say that. So episode 510 said, what is the executive function of organization of materials? What does it mean to be organized? What does that mean? I explored that in 510. 511 is, what is the executive function of planning? What does it mean to actually plan something? What does that look like? And then the last podcast in this glossary section is 512, which is, what is the executive function of initiation and task monitoring? Basically, getting started and then knowing how far you have to go until you're actually done. So if this interests you in any way, like understanding this, the executive functions of your brain, understanding more about ADHD, there are a whole slew of podcasts that we recorded in the end of 2022, and you could dive in deeper on those.